Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on Final Four Friday, it is our third and final hour of the Early Line on Sports Grid. We are really happy to have you here entering a huge weekend in college basketball. Final Four Friday night in Cleveland, Ohio at the Women's NCAA Tournament. A marquee matchup across the board and a historic night awaits before we get to Final Four Saturday out in Phoenix at the Men's NCAA Tournament as well. In this third and final hour, picks, plays, previews, breakdowns for all four games that you will see over the next 48 hours before we get to a national championship on Sunday in the women's tournament and, of course, national championship Monday night out in the desert in the men's tournament. The goosebumps and the hairs on my arm, DRS, stand up. It is Final Four Friday here on the Early Line.
It is. Great night tonight to basketball with the women's game. Saturday, of course, with the men's game. And then also the NBA sprinkled in all throughout the weekend with collision course games to try to set those seedings up. So good time for basketball to come along. And if Major League Baseball would like to participate and actually have games played 60 degrees or above, we'd love to see it. And we'd love to handicap that as well.
We are going to handicap some around Major League Baseball. 13 games on this Friday slate. And some marquee matchups across the board as well. And by the time we speak to you next on Monday morning, we'll go around the association. Some hardwood handicaps tonight with your two premier NBA handicappers. It'll be the final week of the NBA regular season. Let's welcome in that Sports Grid Radio audience here for our third and final hour of this week, live on a Friday on the Early Line. He's Donnie Wright's. Oh, I was early. He's Donnie Wright's side. I am Ben Stevens. My eyesight in studio as the Sports Grid Radio audience is here is often not all that great. But you're here. It's a Friday. Sirius XM Channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. Major League Baseball Daily Diamond Dash. A rematch of the American League Championship Series. A divisional duel in the American League West. An in-state showdown in Texas between the Rangers and the Astros tonight in Arlington. The Rangers actually, despite being at home, DRS, booked as the money line underdog against the Astros. Hunter Brown gets the start for the Stros over under 9.5.
Yeah, early season here, but at least we have 15-plus at-bats for most of these guys if they're facing right-handed pitching. So if you take a look at that Texas Rangers lineup today, here's the interesting part. You would figure Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, Evan Carter, guys that can really go yard. Take a look at their ISO power numbers against right-handed pitching this season. 18 at-bats for Semien, that's a zero. Corey Seager, 14 at-bats against righties, that's a zero. Evan Carter, 18 at-bats against righties, that's a zero also. Adolis Garcia, though, 625 ISO power number. Oh. Some of that will probably be on your slate today if you're looking for an RBI prop. But if we flip it over to Houston going up against Bradford, who's a left-handed pitcher, limited at-bats here. Most of the guys between 5 to maybe 12 at-bats against those lefties. Kyle Tucker is a left-handed batter. And how about this? Going up against a 429 ISO power number and a 595 weighted on base percentage. Forget about that lefty-lefty concept. They're like, I'll try to fade that and look away. He's probably the best hitter in the lineup. Yainer Diaz, a 500 ISO power number through 7 at-bats. He's a right-handed batter. So having said that, Not a lot of great looks in the lineups between both of these two on offense. Probably leaning more towards an under for me, but we're just maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks away from getting that true feel on some of these batters here, and away we go into the hitting weather, which is going to come up into May. So maybe an under look tonight between these two.
Yeah. Listen, you can see what the odds are going to say for the Strohs all year long, and rightfully so. They have been perennially one of the powerhouses in MLB, a road favorite against the reigning World Series champs, despite being just 2-5 this year. 4 of the 5 losses, though, for the Astros have been decided by 2 runs or less. Also under in 5 of 7 games so far this year for Houston. Total tonight at 9.5. I'm calling my shot, though. Wyatt Langford, plus 600, home run tonight. Plus 140 for 2+ total bases. The rookie for the Rangers has a big night against their in-state foes. Early, some day baseball on this Friday slate, including up in the Bronx. It's going to be chilly as Marcus Stroman gets the start inside Yankee Stadium against the Toronto Blue Jays. Minus 156, that live money line price in favor of the Pinstripes. 8.5 is the total. Again, chilly day baseball up in the Bronx.
Yeah, and if this game, or should I say the Yankees, were run by college basketball, this game would probably start at 10 o'clock Eastern here, but it doesn't. It starts at 1:05 because everybody can watch it, take the day off, relax, go out to the ball yard, and enjoy the game the rightful way you're supposed to do things. But having said that, it's going to be chilly temperatures, as Ben said, right around 50 degrees, but 15-mile-an-hour winds blowing out to right field on that short porch. So immediately you try to take a look and say, okay, Kikuchi, what are you bringing to the table today as a left-handed pitcher against this Yankees lineup? And quite frankly, the Yankees, nobody in that lineup has more than 8 at-bats here in this early season against lefties. Let me just go down the ISO power numbers, because if we're looking for runs and we're looking for home runs, Gleyber Torres, you got a 0. Hey, Juan Soto, how you doing? 0. How about Aaron Judge against lefties this year? Yeah, it's a 0, too. Giancarlo Stanton? Yeah, it's a 0 as well. How about Anthony Rizzo? I mean, he makes contact. Yeah, that's all he does. A 0 ISO power number. Hey, John Burton, that's a 0 as well for you. Jose Trevino? Yeah, it's a 0 for you, too. Oswaldo Cabrera, bringing up the backside here in the 9-hole. You got to be doing some damage, right? Yeah, that's a 0 as well. 8 out of the 9 batters here with 0s here with ISO power numbers against lefties on this early season. Not what you wanted to see if you're looking to back out for RBI props here. But Marcus Stroman's going to take the mound here on the opposite side, and we're taking a look at ISO power numbers. You got a good one at Springer and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Right around, 20 at-bats or so in this young season against right-handed pitching. But let's go over the rest of this lineup here. Bo Bichette, 083. Turner, 077. Varsho, 0. Kirk, 0. Kiermaier, 0. Connor Falefa, 0. Maybe if some of these guys would be batting in conditions that are 70 and 80 degrees. And also, we remember Toronto taking on the Houston Astros. They were abysmal at the plate here. So wind blowing out, would love to take it. Just can't do it. The numbers don't support it this early just yet, Ben.
Juan Soto going yard in his Yankee Stadium debut. The Yankees off to a 6-1 start this year. The home debut, though, up in the Bronx for Soto, who has been electric this year, plus 390 to hit a home run. I'm feeling spicy on some of those home run props on this Friday. Day baseball as well inside the friendly confines of Wrigley Field. The Cubs, a home underdog, plus 154 you would expect against the L.A. Dodgers. The Cubbies off to a 4-2 start. L.A. off to a 7-2 number. Can the Cubs win outright as an underdog at home inside Wrigley?
Yeah, it's one of those games. Say, hey, look at the Dodgers under 2-1 price as a favorite. Just take them anywhere at this point. Not necessarily the case. And also keep in mind, the Dodgers opening up their season in L.A. It's usually nice weather in L.A. Where they're in spring training down in Arizona, it's usually nice weather. We go over to the windy city of Chicago today. What's the first thing that you check? Not necessarily the temperatures, which will be 44 degrees at first pitch, but double digits blowing in from right field. So good luck on the hitting condition weather out there today. But I would sooner look. The Dodgers have opened up very good. Probably would just take the dog price on the road. Hey, colder conditions. You don't have your ace on the mound. Maybe the Cubs can pull this one out. But outside of that, I'm waiting for more hitting conditions here to zero in on some of these player props. I don't know if we get that today with the cold conditions in Wrigley Field.
The Dodgers 7-2 straight up, 4-5 on that run line so far this year. The Cubbies, the run line underdog, only a minus 114 price to pay. The Braves, the biggest favorites on the board today. Spencer Strider on the bump in the ATL, minus 275 against the reigning NL pennant winners and the Arizona Diamondbacks today at the A. Around the association in the NBA next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A big Friday night in the association. 9 days left in this NBA regular season. For most teams, 5 games remain. For others, only 6. It is playoff positioning time for those teams that will be in the postseason. And despite DRS, a Houston Rockets run where they won 11 straight games to maybe scare the Warriors for that 10th and final spot, the 4th and final in the Western Conference play-in tournament. It seems once again the 10 teams that sit in the top 10 spots are going to see the NBA postseason. Golden State, a big victory last night on the road in Houston, winning by 20+, covering as a 3.5-point favorite. The Dubs take that 6-game winning streak elsewhere in Texas tonight against the Dallas Mavericks. Both teams on the second leg of a back-to-back. Dallas at home, Golden State on the road, but in the same state that is Texas. 5-point spread in favor of the Mavericks.
Yeah, I'll take the Mavericks in this game tonight. And it also comes down to, look, I understand the Golden State Warriors want to keep the good mojo going at this point. But yesterday was their regular season Super Bowl, if you will. So, well, that's crazy. We knew they were getting to the playoffs. No, we thought they were getting into the playoffs. Last night's victory means, yes, they're absolutely getting to the playoffs. And the Houston Rockets won't be able to mount that comeback here to try to overtake the Golden State Warriors. So that's the perfect time to pick up that victory, then rest some of those guys, and then sort of get back into the fold for the remaining, let's just say, 4 to 5 games of the regular season. So I'll take the Dallas Mavericks tonight at that -5-point favorite. Not to say that they should easily win this game, because, I mean, come on, Golden State's going to put up a fight regardless if the top guys are in there or not. I just look at it as one of those moments where Golden State finally made it into the playoffs, and it might be a little bit of a letdown tonight.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point, DRS. They did what they needed to do to create that 4-game advantage over Houston with only 6 games left in this NBA regular season. But they have won 6 straight. They've covered in 5 of those 6. They've gone under in 4 of 6, not last night, and over against a very up-tempo Rockets team. The Mavericks have also started to play a lot of unders here as of late. 8 of the last 9 for Dallas under, including last night. They won by 14 at home. They covered as an 11.5-point, 12-point favorite against the Atlanta Hawks. Make that 8 of the last 9. The Mavericks have won, and they have covered in a ton of games here as of late. Dallas playing really, really good basketball at this moment. They've won 8 of 9. They've won 14 of 16. They've covered in 14 of their last 16. I back the Mavericks tonight, and I would look to the under of 226. Big one out west tonight as well. In Phoenix, before we get to the Final Four, we go to the Valley for the Suns, a 4-point home favorite against the Minnesota Timberwolves, over under tonight, 216.5. Again, we have said this so many times, over the last 2-3 weeks, Donnie, as we get nearer and nearer to the postseason, we expect this Suns team to show its true muster and fight to be that playoff contender out west. Here's another spot where the odds makers expect it.
And the public is also expecting a victory here from the Suns. Close to 8 out of every 10 tickets here coming in on the Suns. You take a look at that overnight number at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Ben. Open up as a -3-point favorite, moving in the right direction for all that money coming in here on the Suns as that bumped up to a -4. A total, though, overnight, Ben, 220. That's now dipped to a 216. That's more of the Minnesota Timberwolves like to get down and dirty on defense here, and we'll see if they can. But these are the trust level factors moving forward into the playoffs as we get there. The big three is supposed to play tonight and be intact. I'm going to take Phoenix, and it's so hard because I sort of fluctuate on Phoenix. I'm in and out each and every week on the way I feel for them. And quite frankly, if they win tonight, I'm like, you know what? Look at Phoenix rounding into form. But I feel like it's a referendum game where they play a team like the Timberwolves at home where they're favored, and they get bounced by 5 points without one of the best players on the Timberwolves still not being back. I say, yep, that's why I can't trust them. But I'm going to trust that the big three's out there. They're at home. They're supposed to win this game, and they will. I'll lay the 4 points on the Suns.
Again, it's a time to match expectation. That's what Phoenix has the ability to do tonight. Minnesota enters tonight with a half-game lead over Denver for that number one overall seed in the Western Conference, a 4-game in front of Oklahoma City, who we will discuss in just a moment. I will say this about the Suns. They have been a bottom three cover team in the NBA all year long in terms of that ATS record, but they have won 7 of their last 10 games, 6 of their last 8 included in there, and a little bit more of a minute sample size. They have covered covered in all seven victories in their last 10 games. Minnesota, though, second best underdog team in the NBA, 12-7 against the spread. Golden State, the best, 16-9-1. ATS, both teams a dog tonight on the road against other playoff teams in the Western Conference. Minnesota has covered in its last three games as a dog, winning outright in two. So we mentioned Oklahoma City on the road tonight in Indianapolis, and it's a 5.5-point spread in favor of the Pacers. Huge game for Indy. They have a half-game lead over Miami for that sixth and final spot to be out of the Eastern Conference play-in tournament. Oklahoma City now a full game back of the top spot in the Western Conference. That would say to me, I'll go check the player props to make sure, but that would say to me 5.5 points, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander not playing tonight.
Yeah, he probably won't play. And also the overnight number, which opened up as a -4 for the Pacers. That's now 5.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook, even up to 6 has been at some other outlets now. Total still up there, 236.5 as that overnight number at FanDuel, now sitting at 234 even. But looking at the anticipated starting lineups first for OKC, Giddey, Wallace, Wiggins, Dort, and Holmgren. So there you go. SGA not associated in that starting lineup or possibly not playing. And also taking a look at maybe a Jalen Williams, if he's actually in this game too, the Indiana Pacers full gas. But also keep in mind, like, the OKC really would love to get this victory, but at the same time, the Indiana Pacers in a fight for their life now to try to get back up into that top six. This line, if you're just reading it, forget about the handicap itself, who's out, really tells you the backing of the Indiana Pacers because how important this game is. The one thing we do know, Ben, right? OKC is probably going to be a top three seed anyway it shakes out here in the Western Conference. Yeah. But the Pacers, you don't want to get into that 7-10. That's what they're trying to stave off. So I'll back that line tonight for the Pacers with a victory for me as well.
You're starting to read those lines, and that motivation, although hard to quantify, is there when you look at the standings. Again, Indiana half game up over Miami, full game in front of Philadelphia. They hold on barely to that sixth spot in the Eastern Conference to stay out of the play-in tournament. Now, the Pacers were one of the best over teams in the NBA. We saw totals at 245, 250, even into the 260s at times. They started out going over in 14 of their first 15 games this year. The Pacers under in 7 of their last 10, 13 of their last 18. OKC over in 5 of its previous 6 games. No Jalen Williams props listed, by the way, as well, DRS. A big spot for Indiana tonight. Oklahoma City, an underdog who has not covered in its last two games as a dog without SGA against playoff teams in the Eastern Conference. Philadelphia and Boston on this East Coast road trip. Only 5 games remain for Indiana, by the way, including tonight. Even more of that precedent to go out there and win when you have only 4 games remaining in the regular season after tonight. What exactly is Boston's motivation? They clinched their 60th win earlier this week over Oklahoma City, winning by 35. They clinched the NBA's best record in the regular season. They will have home floor advantage throughout the entirety of a postseason, on way even in a potential NBA final series. They're still a double-digit favorite against Sacramento. The Kings on the second leg of a back-to-back. They were in the other Garden, MSG, last night, now to TD Garden. How do you look at this handicap, DRS, with the C's laying 10?
Yeah, again, the Kings really need this, but you played last night. You had a 20-point lead in Madison Square Garden as the Sacramento Kings and let that game slip away. And also, is it too early for the Boston Celtics to shut it down on offense and defense? Because we still have a couple games left. Maybe the final, like, 3 games, but I still think the rotations are going to be there. And guys that are playing, like, in order, like, let's just say Jaylen Brown and or Jason Tatum. Do you think they're like, yeah, you know what, coach, play me 16 minutes. I'll score 15 points. It'll hurt my score. That's not the way the NBA works. When you're playing, you're going full gas, and you want to be in there to at least get your average before you exit that game. I look at that total of 226. Yeah. I actually like that to the over as opposed to laying the 10. And also keep in mind, at FanDuel overnight, that line was -8.5. Now it's up to 10. So the handicapper is backing the Celtics as well. I think the Celtics win the game, but maybe the tempo is a little bit better for me to take it aside.
Domantas Sabonis now has 60-plus consecutive double-doubles. Sacramento on the money line is +385 for a player performance double of a double-double out of Doma and a Sacramento win. It's a worse price at +370. Crazy. Final Four weekend is ahead.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Apparently, there was just an earthquake here in the Northeast. It's almost as if here on this Final Four Friday on the early line, they knew we were about to preview the game between NC State and Purdue in the seismic matchup down low between Zach Edey for the Boilers and DJ Burns on the other side for the Wolfpack. DRS can hardly wrap his head around it. Are you okay? Is everything good?
Yeah, I didn't know what the deal was because, again, I have a ton of monitors and, like, stands here, and everything was shaking for a second. Like, man, that's not a plane going overhead at this point. So apparently most people on the East Coast, or at least in the Northeast, feeling it, because just watching the Twitter feed here, everybody basically has the same opinion at this point. But how about this? We're still live. We're still in the air. We're not worried about any of this stuff. Let's get rocking.
Nah. Listen, I was born on an earthquake. My mother went into labor during the 7.1 on the Richter scale that was the Great Northridge Earthquake in January of 1994. Earthquake is in my name. My parents thought of naming me Rocky.
94.
At times, I wish my name was Rocky Stevens. That would be sick. 94, man. Yeah, good time. January 17th.
Hold on. 19.
Please.
Let me ask you a question. Is Ben Stevens your real name, by the way? I never asked you that from all this time we've known each other. Is that a studio name or what is that? Come
on. No, Ben Stevens is a real name. Is Donnie Wrightside your real name?
Tiv, really? I mean, yes, absolutely it is. Why would I try to deke anybody out at that point here? But I'm glad we got that out of the way because I always wanted to know. So nice to meet you, Ben. Let's go.
Yes, great to meet you as well, Donald. It is a lovely, lovely time. Donald, Richard Seymour? Anyway, we'll go back to that at another time. We're going to preview the Final Four here and the four matchups that we have on this weekend. We're going to give you our pick six, our men's best bet, our women's best bet, our favorite over-under from any of those four matchups of the two games tonight in Cleveland or the two tomorrow out in Phoenix, a prop that we like from Final Four weekend, a special on the FanDuel Sportsbook, which is a very fun market to look at with some plus money prices, and we will pick the women's national champion, what our favorite bet is there, because the next time we speak, we're recapping the game on a Monday morning here on the early line. And in this time, we will preview and break down each and every game. So, DRS, let's start out with your men's best bet for Final Four weekend and Final Four Saturday night out in the desert.
Now, not a lot of fun here, right? Because typically for myself, I want to take a best bet and we're going to root for the overs. But you can't just take a blind over if you don't actually believe in the handicap here. And when you talk about the Alabama Crimson Tide on offense, what do you think about? A lot of points scoring. Well, I'm going to buck that trend this weekend, Ben. And I'm going to take Alabama's team total under 74.5 going up against UConn. We've talked about it a few times already this week. Look, I think Alabama can create some havoc here against UConn. They're a really good basketball team. But the three-point shot is where they want to kill you from that range. You can't do that against UConn. If you're going to go against the will of UConn, where they say, we don't let you shoot three-point shots and we defend it well, and they go, well, who cares? We're going to put up 40 and make 20 of them. Well, then you're probably going to get a cover, if not an outright win, from the Alabama Crimson Tide. But I don't believe in that here. It's crazy to say because, hey, take them under 85.5, under 90.5. No, 74.5. I'm going to go under there. I don't think Alabama gets to that number of 75 points. I think UConn's defense is just too much, and they strangle them, Ben, in the second half here. Give me the under.
All right, so let's combine our best bets then and just lay 11.5 with Connecticut, because I think UConn team total over 87.5 points is my best bet for the men's Final Four. And I will just say this. Round of 64, there's 16 matchups on both Thursday and Friday. Round of 32, you've got 8 each day. By the time you get to the second weekend, the numbers become sharper. You don't have some of those mid-majors that maybe we're not expecting to make that run in the tournament known for madness. These numbers are rather difficult. And especially with the numbers at 9.5 in favor of Purdue and 11.5 in favor of the Huskies. But here's why I like UConn's team total to the over of 87.5 points. Well, for one, UConn is the most efficient offense in all of college basketball. And Alabama's defense ranks outside of the top 100. But I'll go a little bit further. Alabama played 6 SEC games versus teams that ranked in that conference with a top 15 offense in terms of efficiency nationally. They allowed 93 or more points in 5 of those 6 games. An average in that 6-game sample size of 98.5 points per game. In 3 of those 5 games, when they gave up 93+, the team on the opposing side scored 102 or more. So I'm hoping UConn gets close to 90. 88, in fact, or more. I think the Huskies against an Alabama defense that struggles. They gave up 82 to Clemson. UNC scored 87. Charleston put up 96. This is a defense that is not very good. And I think UConn will have its efficient way tomorrow night on a Final Four Saturday. Give me UConn team total over 87.5.
I think it makes some sense, too, because, again, you're talking about an Alabama defense that hasn't been that great, and also tempo, which means UConn's going to get more shots than maybe they anticipated. From my end of it as well, Ben, and sometimes this always factors in, maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. Where are we playing this game? In Arizona, in a football stadium, where this is going to be the first game that these two teams play in that stadium. Monday night might be a little bit different. Let's just say if, you know, hey, you know what? Struggled a little bit on Saturday night, but Monday, now I'm used to the sight lines here as we play all the way through. So I'm excited to watch this game play out, but also taking that under 74.5 by saying, for me, Alabama shooting the three-point shot might not be as good just because of the actual place they're playing in, as well as the team that they're playing here. We'll find out certainly tomorrow.
So now we go to our favorite bet for the women's NCAA tournament and Final Four Friday night. What does Donnie Wright's side like in the two matchups that we have in Cleveland, Ohio?
Let's keep it simple here. It's Iowa -2.5. It's going to be an unbelievable matchup against UConn in here. Quite frankly, I'm surprised that this line is only 2.5. Just goes to show you how good UConn's been. And also UConn, one of those teams where getting injured steadily throughout the season, you sort of had them off of your odds where like, UConn's a nice little team, but they're not going to factor in to the national championship picture, let alone make it to the Final Four and possibly a championship game. And here they are. Paige Beckers has been wonderful for that team. They just don't have enough depth for me to stay in this game. And if Caitlin Clark imposes her will early on. Let's take a look at this, Ben. One of those first two logo three-point shots goes down. It's going to be a great night here for Iowa. I'm going to take them in this game. Yes, it is a public standard here for me at -2.5, but I'm going to ride that out anyway. I think Iowa's the better team and has more depth than UConn this year to be able to win this game and get to that final on Sunday.
It gets to one of my favorite over-unders of the weekend as well. Now, UConn has been one of the second most efficient defense in the country. Her hoop stats, where Krina Mustafa works for, they have them ranked as the second most efficient defense in the country, only behind South Carolina. The Gamecocks can strangle you on the defensive side of the floor. UConn has not allowed more than 73 points in an NCAA tournament game in their four victories to get to their 23rd appearance in a Final Four. Oh, yeah, you bet. That's the most in women's college basketball history. I'll get to why, though, I think Iowa can attack that Connecticut defense in just a moment. My favorite bet for the women's Final Four is NC State getting 11.5 points. I said it when Krina was on. NC State is not scared of this moment. They have a senior-laden backcourt that is incredibly explosive and athletic. Isaiah James, Saniya Rivers. And when you look at the resume, when you look at the slate for the Wolfpack to get here, we'll go to the NCAA tournament. Sweet 16 against Stanford, who many people thought was going to contend for a national championship. One of the four best prices to cut down the nets entering this tournament. Isaiah James, the lefty, went off. They upset the Cardinal outright as a 4.5-point dog. They beat Texas outright as a 3.5-point dog in the Elite Eight, behind some more sharp shooting from Isaiah James. And when you look at NC State in non-conference, they beat UConn, and they beat Colorado by double digits. Those two teams saw the Sweet 16 and the second weekend, and of course, Connecticut is here in the Final Four. They beat Texas in the NCAA tournament, did NC State. So when I look at the Wolfpack, they beat UCLA, by the way, another Sweet 16 team in the NCAA women's tournament. When I look at this NC State team, I know they can hoop and I know they can hang. Give me 11.5 points because they have won outright in their two games as a dog into the second weekend, now into the Final Four. South Carolina, although winning, did not cover either of their two spreads against Indiana in the Sweet 16 or in the Elite Eight either in that matchup against Oregon State.
Yeah, no respect for NC State men's and or women's team getting close to double digits on both sides of the equation, but there is a chance, and also getting hot at the right time. And even we can equate this to the men's game, talking about the women's team for NC State. You're not playing with house money anymore. Hey, didn't think you could get this far. Well, here they are, and they're playing great basketball, so why not? I'm interested to see how this game pans out because it just feels like a formality, even on both sides. Like, South Carolina's team will easily dispatch of NC State. We'll see if that actually winds up, but I am rooting for a close game here early on because that's the game, Ben, I'm going to be up for. How do you like that?
Yeah, well, I figured we would get to that just a few more times throughout this pick six for Final Four weekend. DRS, 1.5 minutes here left in this break. We'll continue our pick six plays and previews on the other side. What is your favorite total of Final Four weekend?
Yeah, this one probably doesn't help out your UConn team total to the over at 87.5, because I did take the under 161.5 out there in Arizona for the game between UConn and Alabama, just because, again, you had a couple days off. These teams are very good. They know each other now just based on film, not from playing each other. So you might be getting some of those sets back. But also, I do think they'll struggle a little bit from the three-point line both sides here in this basketball game, just because they're playing in a giant football stadium. I'll lean towards the under 161.5 there as my best total.
Hey, we can get all those things. Team total under 74 and a hook for the Crimson Tide. Game total under 161.5. And UConn over 87.5. 88-70. Boom. We're good. Still a relatively high-scoring game and stays under that pregame number. Boom. There it is. And UConn covers as an 11.5-point favorite. DRS, why didn't you bet UConn laying 11.5?
Why didn't I bet UConn laying 11.5? Yeah. Probably rooting for an upset at this
point. Just in the way we're breaking down the game.
It's a good point you bring up. It's just that what you're more comfortable in that instance, just trying to play the game out in my mind as opposed to saying who's going to win or lose. I just think some of the offenses might struggle a little bit more here. But I do think UConn probably wins and does cover, yes.
As they have in their previous 10 NCAA tournament victories over the last 2 years. I'll give you my favorite total on the other side of the break. We continue our Final Four pick six for this monumental weekend in college basketball up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Come on, man. Your uncanny ability in the final 5 seconds before we return from a commercial break of saying something wilding out there is really, really good. They have said reports in the greater New York City area, 5.5 on the Richter scale. That's not a small earthquake that we felt in New York City. 4.8 out in your neck of the woods in New Jersey. That's a pretty big one. I'm a little bit upset. I didn't really feel it. Was downstairs using the facilities. Man, that's tough, DRS. Again, perfect timing. We're previewing the Final Four between Zach Edey and DJ Burns. But come on, would have loved an earthquake feel if we were live on air, started shaking like
it on
that.
The air.
That would have been good.
Yeah, it would have been a good part on the air at this point here. But just look, we're still here. We're still running through here. We got to get the people out here. You got a nice little rush. That shows you how big this weekend is. Like, the weight of the world, Ben, is crashing down right now with earthquakes because of how big the sports landscape is this weekend. Seismic shock all the way around. Woo, boy.
Seismic. The Earth's plates are literally shifting as we speak because of how big a college basketball weekend is on the horizon. And it starts tonight with the Final Four in the women's NCAA tournament tonight in Cleveland, where my favorite total of the weekend comes. Iowa team total over 82.5 points. I mentioned Connecticut, right? Second most efficient defense in the country. But when you look at UConn in certain junctures this year, Iowa is favored by 2.5 points, meaning at least outright, UConn is expected to lose the basketball game. Connecticut has not lost since Big East play began, but UConn did drop 5 games in non-conference play. Iowa not only has scored 89 or more points in 3 of its 4 NCAA tournament games, they play very up-tempo. They play with a very high-powered offense, of course, led by Caitlin Clark. They put up 94 against LSU on Monday night in the Elite Eight. UConn has allowed 78 or more points in all 5 losses this year. And all 5 of those losses for the Huskies have come against teams that at least reach the Sweet 16 of the women's NCAA tournament. Here we are now in the Final Four. It's the key matchup. If Iowa gets over 82.5, sure, UConn probably has enough offensive firepower to keep up with the Hawkeyes. But UConn's best path to victory, DRS, is keeping Caitlin Clark and containing her as best as possible. And overall, Kate Morton, Gabby Marshall, Cynthia Falter, everybody to under 82.5. That's UConn's pathway, in my estimation, to an upset. I'm just not sure it happens.
Yeah, Coach Bluter out there for Iowa, what's she going to do? Like, hey, look, you guys are short-staffed here. You guys are playing 40 minutes a night. What's the best way to do it? Walk it up the court and slow the game down? Absolutely not. Test them here. Test your depth versus their depth. You should be able to win that one out. And the one thing we've seen there, nobody really slows down Iowa all that much. It's going to be a great game to watch back and forth, but plenty of offense. So I like that look here. If you're looking for Iowa to win, it's probably not with 68 points on the board. They're going to crack it into the 80s here. Have some fun and watch that play out.
That is not Iowa's strong suit. They are not great defensively, not elite there like UConn is and like they are offensively, the most efficient offense in the country. Iowa gets up and down, and to DRS's point, the reason this Final Four run for UConn has been so phenomenal, not only the reemergence of Paige Bueckers, but they lost five significant contributors to their team this year, including AZ Fudd, who was one of their leaders in the backcourt alongside a Paige Bueckers. The fact that UConn is here shorthanded is a testament to what they have done this year. But because of that, Iowa's going to run up and down as they did in the Elite Eight against the Bayou Bengals. Favorite prop for this weekend in the Final Four is what, Donnie?
Yeah, take a look. Coming into the tournament itself, we needed NC State to get on a run, and they did. But DJ Burns has been flat out tremendous here, starting with that Virginia game here where they went to overtime 73-65, dropped 19 points in that game. Then North Carolina scored 20 points. Then getting into the tournament himself, 16-24. The low point against Marquette, he played 27 minutes and only shot four times from the field for 4 points. But then bouncing back with 13 of 19 from the field in his last game against Duke and 29 points. And a lot of that going up against Filipowski, who's quite a tall guy as well out there. So I'm going to go over 14.5 points for DJ Burns Jr. He has to be a part. Yeah. There's no way, shape, or form you can look at NC State and say if they're going to be competitive in this game, he's going to score 4 points, 6 points, or 8 points in this game. He has to be a factor. And the good part about it is when you're a factor and you're a scorer, we're not looking for 19.5 points to go over. It's 14.5. He should be able to get 15 points tonight. I think he's going to shoot double-digit attempts from the field. Yeah. That should be good enough tonight. I'm going to go DJ Burns Jr. Have some fun with this one to watch and cheer on. Give me the 15 points tonight.
Donnie, his 14.5 points prop was the same number as well for that Elite Eight matchup against the Blue Devils. It has not moved despite the fact that he scored 29. It's probably because he has a matchup against Zach Edey on the other side. At least that's what we think on paper. Yep. Mohamed Diarra, also the other forward in the front court for Kevin Keats' NC State Wolfpack that can kind of move things out for NC State, a name to keep an eye on. But 14.5 is not a number that DJ Burns should be intimidated by. I would also say my favorite prop for Burns, over 2.5 assists with plus money, a number he has gone over with at least three dimes in three consecutive games in the big dance. Because if Zach Edey is there, DJ Burns has great court vision and is a great passer, and I would expect him to look out for some of those as well. My favorite prop in this Final Four weekend is one of my favorites from Elite Eight Sunday. It didn't work out against Tennessee. The Volunteers, the third most efficient defense in the country, but will allow you to shoot the three. Purdue did, but didn't do it successfully, and then they got away from it in the first half and just fed Zach Edey the basketball. He was a matchup nightmare for Rick Barnes and Tennessee. They were just 3 of 15 on Elite Eight Sunday against the Vols, but they entered that game as the best three-point shooting team in the country at 41%. So my favorite prop is who I consider the X factor for Purdue on this redemption tour. I felt this way about the Boilermakers and Mason Gillis since way back in January. Mason Gillis, 2+ made three-pointers. It's a minus 112 price. And if you look at the trends for Gillis, 0 of 3 against Grambling State in the opener in the NCAA tournament, made 2+ against Utah State and Gonzaga. Then he went 0 of 3 against Tennessee. That should mean 2+ in at least the next game here against NC State. And before the big dance, Mason Gillis made two or more threes in seven straight games for Purdue and in 9 of the last 10 entering the NCAA tournament. And it's hard to really get a sense of this NC State team because we can look at their metrics, DRS, on KenPom. Those metrics are the sample size of 36-plus games now, not just this 9-game win streak, ACC tournament, NCAA tournament. But you can go to Bart Torvik, and you can narrow that sample size. And NC State has been one of the most efficient defenses in the big dance, but they have the third worst in terms of three-point attempt rate from their opponents, or at least the third most frequent, meaning their opponents are attempting 47% of their overall field goals from three. Marquette was 4 of 31. Duke barely made any, despite being a good three-point shooting team. Some of it is shooting luck, and that's okay. Some of it is great defensive adjustments from Kevin Keats. But I believe Purdue will hoist from deep tomorrow night in Phoenix, and I believe Mason Gillis will hit at least two.
Yeah, and also Mason Gillis, for me, I had him on the agenda over the weekend, last past weekend, and I need him just to make one of them. But I was on the same wavelength as you, saying he doesn't shoot a ton of them, but apparently the stroke is there. When he's wide open, he knocks them down. Only went 0 of 2. I was hoping for a late three-point shot. Didn't get that, but certainly should be able to bounce back based on his performance this year throughout the tournament. And you're right. What's the MO? Like, do we really think NC State's going to, like, you know what, DJ Burns, 1-on-1 with Edie, we're not even going to collapse down there, so we're going to defend the three-point line? No, that's why Purdue is such a very good three-point shooting team. It's not that they're just shooting as many as they can. It's like, wow, triple team on Zach Edey, kick to me. Let me line this up like a free throw. Boom, 40% as a team, and away we go. I like that look here. He should bounce back. Didn't make one in the last game. He should be able to get home in this environment here.
Final four specials category on the FanDuel Sportsbook that combine the men versus the women and some fun match bets. Also, just various topics for Saturday night out in Phoenix. What is your favorite specials bet on FD?
Yeah, just went with Zach Edey. Like, I think he's going to be a big product in the game. That's every single game Purdue plays, but I do think he has a nice little mismatch advantage. If it is going to be DJ Burns at all for a lot of this game, he should get his, and quite frankly, he always gets his. And if I'm playing the angle where maybe on Saturday, both of these teams aren't going to be great three, or should I say both of the games aren't going to have great three-point shooting, that means you probably can't rely on it. You got to go down low. So it took Zach Edey to be the top point scorer on Saturday for the men's at a plus 130 price.
So I looked at Zach Edey as well. There's a match bet for Zach Edey versus both Caitlin Clark. She's minus 390. I actually think Clark will score more points than Edey in Final Four weekend, and versus Paige Beckers. Now, Paige Beckers' points prop for tonight's game in Cleveland against Iowa is 26.5. She is favored in this matchup. The number, though, for Zach Edey tomorrow night against NC State is less than that, as you would expect, because, or it's actually 26.5 now, slightly on the rise. So it's the same number, but Paige Beckers is minus 150 in this match bet. Edey is plus 118. Beckers has gone over 26.5 in three of the four games with at least 28 and 32. And her floor here in the big dance is 24. Of course, we saw Edey put up 40. We've seen him put up 30. We've seen him put up 27 in three of the four games for the Boilermakers. But there's a good chance, DRS, 26.5 for both Beckers and Edey, for them to finish around the same number. I'll take the plus money with Edey in this match bet against Paige Beckers.
I like it. I do. I mean, anytime you're going to focus on Zach Edey, the one thing that we do know, he's going to be a centerpiece. And even in games where he started out slower in the tournament, maybe 6 or 8 points, he's really hit the gas in the second half. Because the one thing that works out well in your favor, if we're expecting a blowout, that's one thing, which probably means Edey already had a ton of points. But late in the game, Purdue does the one thing you're supposed to do. Let's run our offense repeatedly in the final 5 minutes right through Zach Edey. Because two things are going to happen. He's either going to score or he's going to get fouled at this point. So if you need points late in that game and you don't have them, Edey's going to be the centerpiece and the focus of that offense late. Anything that has to do with Edey, I'm down with betting this weekend, Ben.
All right, the pick six for Final Four weekend. But before Donnie and I speak next, that will be on Monday morning, a national champion will be crowned in women's college basketball. So, DRS with the four teams left standing, entering Cleveland tonight for Final Four Friday. When all is said and done on Sunday evening, who will be a national champion?
I'm going to go with Iowa at a plus 3-1 price here. It's the perfect caption to an unbelievable career for Caitlin Clark. And she's not going to go down either way as, oh, Dan Marino was a great quarterback but didn't win anything. She's probably the best overall college basketball player we've ever seen. I just would love to see her go out with the ring. So this is more of not a handicap for myself, because I do think South Carolina probably is the best overall team, and rightfully so. But I just want to see the storybook ending. Give me 30 points on Saturday, or excuse me, Friday night. Give me another 30 on Sunday. Give me a close game where they win it. Yeah. That's the way to go out in style, with a ring on your finger, as she deserves. I took Iowa 3-1.
There has been a lot of conversation about greatness and the greatest of all time in women's college basketball history. A lot of people point to the historic championships that UConn won with Diana Taurasi, or back in the day for Candace Parker at Tennessee, or Maya Moore at UConn as well. Breanna Stewart won 4 in a row with the Huskies. But we don't see that level of dominance in women's college hoops anymore. There's parity. We haven't seen a back-to-back repeat national champion in women's college basketball since 2017. So the idea that somebody's greatness and the greatest of all time is directly tied to a ring in a single elimination tournament that we call madness is a little bit maddening to me. Caitlin Clark is the greatest of all time for what she has done and not simply as a scorer. And I agree with you, DRS. I think Iowa gets there. But I also have a UConn ticket at 15-1 that I bet on Monday before their Elite Eight matchup against USC. So I'm going with the field. I told you my women's best bet is NC State plus 11.5.
Yeah.
I think South Carolina can get got. I'm not sure it's the Wolfpack. And I really think tonight is a toss-up between Connecticut and Iowa. But I'm going to go with the field at a plus 170 number. The Gamecocks minus 210 as a hefty national title favorite. A best bet on this Friday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out our 3 hours together on this Final Four Friday on the early line right here on Sports Grid for the week on TEL as well. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. But now it's time for a best bet on this Final Four Friday. We gave you the pick six. Can we find something else to make you some profits here before we get into one of the biggest weekends you will see maybe in the last two decades in college basketball? Before we say farewell, before we say goodbye, it is time for that best bet. It is time for bye, bye, bye. DRS, what gets your attention on this Friday?
We're going to go to the women's Final Four tonight and take some action on a total over for a player that's on Iowa. Ah, he's going Caitlin Clark. No, he's not. We're actually going with Kate Martin over 14.5 points. If you're going to win a basketball game, you need a running mate. We expect Caitlin Clark to get hers. We understand that. We know the focus of the defense from UConn is going to be on Caitlin Clark, which means other people are going to have to step up if Iowa is going to win this basketball game. In the tournament, averaging 14 points a game. So you say, okay, it's right on that number. But I always like to see what they've been doing. What have you done for me lately? 21 points in a monster effort against LSU for Kate Martin. She's going to get 15 plus points. And if she doesn't, Caitlin better go over for 40, and she could possibly do that. But you're going to need help from your friends here in order to advance, and that is going to be Kate Martin for me over 14.5 points.
16 of those 21 against the Bayou Bengals came in the second half. Kate Martin and Caitlin Clark are, in fact, that best friends. They have played 137 consecutive games together in the starting lineup dating back to the start of the 2020-21 season. That is the longest streak in the last 25 years in Division I college basketball. I look for Caitlin Clark over 9.5 dimes. I look for Sydney Falter, also one of those fellow running mates, on Iowa over 14.5 points. And I also look for Paige Beckers over 6.5 rebounds. Now, the juice is pretty heavy, but Paige is averaging 8 rebounds per game in the last 7. She's also averaging 25 points per game, 4 assists, 2 blocks, 2 steals. She is doing it all. It is Final Four weekend in college basketball. Enjoy it. We'll talk to you on a Monday on the Early Box.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.